was already like struggling to hold it together this morning. It was actually funny, I'll just elaborate a wee bit. When me and Jack first hung out at this camp, we were like thinking, oh, maybe we should just, we actually talked about it, we'll skip all the meetings, bro, and we'll just head down to the beach with the girls. And he was on board, and I was shocked, eh? I was like, you're on board? Sweet, man, like, you're the man. And yeah, that's what we planned to do, but actually kind of God probably got a hold of us and we didn't get into any trouble, but that was the plan. That was the bond. That's all good. Yeah. Mate, talk about just grab a whole worship and words session and speak it before I do. It was awesome. Mate, I just real connected with God, and I know why. I was emotional during worship. It was just like the enemy, it's funny, eh? Like he always knows your fears and your triggers, eh? And he just like taps them. And when I was just in worship, it was just like saying to me, you shouldn't speak this word because you'll make people upset. And I don't like making people upset, you know, like I like being mates with people and I don't like having enemies. And then this, you know, just the whole worship service and everything was like, what am I going to speak on? It was kind of like just cheering me on, like, say it. And I was like, mean. Just like, thank you for the voice of truth. So, yeah. And if I, the Bible says that you have to love your enemies, so you're allowed to have some. So if I become your enemy, you still have to love me. So that was comforting. Lots of comfort. So, thank you, Lord, for this word. Father, I just pray that me to just say what you need to say. Bless the word, bless these people, and bless the speaker. Amen. Yeah. Blessed. Oh, I've got Danny's word up here. It's no good to me. It was a good word, though. It's not good to me now. Whoa. Yeah, double tag. All right. So I'll just tell you a story. Whenever I go to Mum and Dad's place, obviously I haven't lived there for probably more than 10 years now, and I just rock in there, and even if they're not home, I know where the key is, and I go and help myself to the pantry every time, just homemade baking. And Danny's like, James, you are so rude. Like, you just walk in here, like, you just say, hey, Mum, hey, Dad, and just straight to the pantry. I was like, I know where the goods are, you know, like, Mum always has home baking, and I'm a good son, you know, like, because she loves it when I eat her baking and just say, man, this is the best. She just loves it, eh, like, and so that's why I do it, and, like, I know, like, how to be a good son, though. Like, I know that I'm not allowed to come in with straw in my socks. That is not welcome. I know that I'm not allowed to drive on a wet lawn. That is also not welcome. So I'm a good son. Like, I know how it works in the kingdom of my parents. And the kingdom of God is the same. He has an open pantry. And basically, that's what I'm going to be talking about tonight. Tonight. That's how long I'm going to go for. Nah, it seems quite dark out there. No, it's all good. Yeah, so I know what it is to be a good son, and I know I have a good mum and dad on earth, but also in heaven. And anyway, so a story in the Bible, Matthew 14, it talks about 14:13 to be precise. It talks about Jesus, and he's going to a remote place, and everyone wants to be with him, so they all follow him out there. And he's preaching the word and healing people, and it's starting to get late. And the disciples, they're so sincere and like they're so loving, and they suggest, hey, maybe we should send everybody away so they get home in time and they can get something to eat. Like, that would be really good. And Jesus says, like, yeah, eating would be good, but don't panic. Like, don't stress about it. Why don't you feed them? And the disciples are like, we're in the wilderness, we've got 5 loaves of bread, and there's 5,000 men and women and children, so there's probably 20,000 people there. That's what I figure, if every man's got a wife and average of 2 kids. I don't know, it might have been average of 10 back then, but we'll be conservative. Anyway, so there's a lot of people there, right? And the disciples, they're being well-meaning, you know, like. And then next thing, Jesus starts breaking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he feeds 5,000 women and children, men, women, and children. So I'm going to say 20,000. And Jesus, they picked up baskets of leftovers. And so if you're going to write something down today, which I think you should, because I don't like it when I walk out of church and I don't write anything down, I can't remember, is in God's kingdom, there's always more than enough. Anyway, so that night, everyone was fed and there was leftovers, all right? You got it? Okay, so then Jesus went alone to pray again by himself. Seems like that was important to him. Maybe something we could replicate. I know I'm speaking to myself here too. And the same day, he sent the disciples away on the boat and he's away praying. The next minute, the disciples are out in a storm, you know, on the boat, panicking, and he just walks out to them on the water, and he's like, I'm with you, don't be afraid. And the disciples are like, is it really you? And then, you know, obviously Peter's walking out on the water to him, and all this crazy stuff is happening, and then he jumps in the boat, and everything calms down, and it says the disciples knew that he was the Son of God. And I was like, man, I probably would have been convinced with the bread, but anyway, they knew now. So then, less than a month passes, I reckon, like as you read, it's in Matthew 15. Same thing, they're out in the wilderness again, and this time there's 4,000 men plus women and children. And the same deal, Jesus is like, hey, I want these people to be fed before they go home. Like, they've got a journey and I want them to be fed. And the disciples are like, where would we get enough food in the wilderness to feed all these people, Jesus? And when I'm reading that, I'm kind of like, man, I feel like I wouldn't be that slow, but like, you know, it's a smaller crowd anyway, and they've missed it, you know, they've missed the whole principle that Jesus was trying to teach. Like, there's more than enough, you know, there's, wherever you go, I'm with you, you know, there's abundance. And so Jesus is very calm though, like, not like me, I would have like snapped at them, but Jesus is just like, what do you have? And seven loaves and some fish, and same thing, and he makes enough food out of that to feed the thousands and have some left over. Like, he didn't just dice them up into 1,000 pieces. Like more than enough. You got it? Yeah. So that's the second time. So then you think, oh, I think he's got the principle across to the disciples now. Like, he's got it across, but they still didn't get it. And in Matthew 16, it talks about how, well, I might read it actually. Is it up there, Paul? That's all right, I'll read it. So they've gone out again, or just a bit of background, and they haven't bought any bread, and the disciples are just stressing again. And they're like, oh, we didn't bring any bread. And Jesus is on another wavelength, and he says, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. And he's talking about being aware of what they're teaching, like it's false. And he knew what they were saying, it says here. Jesus knew what they were saying, and he said, you have so little faith, why are you arguing about having no bread? Do you not understand even yet? Do you not remember the 5,000 I fed with 5 loaves and the 4,000 I fed with 7 loaves and the baskets of leftovers you picked up? And then it says, then the disciples understood that he was not talking about the yeast specifically of the Pharisees. Like, they're stressing, like, oh, he wants bread and we didn't have flour, let alone yeast, and he wants specific yeast. And they're like, oh, we get it. Okay, you're not talking about yeast. You can make bread if you want it. And they click, finally, 3 times. And I like to think I'm faster than that, but maybe I'm not. I'm sure you guys like to think you're faster than that too, but you know, it's quite often we relate to the disciples when they get it wrong, eh? Yeah. Oh, there was one thing I was going to say at the start when I'll just chuck it in there now, how the voice of the enemy is just talking to me, eh? And the voice of truth and the voice of the kingdom, the voice of the Father is always talking to us, and he always wants us to understand the love and the hope and who we are as a son of God or a daughter of God. And it just like upsets me so much when I see people like, yeah, falling into the trap of believing in lies, yeah, and things that are hurting them and destructive to them, and usually it's subtle, like it's so subtle, way, because if it was obvious, then you wouldn't believe it. It's subtle. It's like, oh my gosh, and obviously that was one thing that just ripped my heart out when this young fella Scott, you know, passed a couple of weeks ago. Like, I just feel like he was robbed, eh? And it just ripped my heart out, like, he didn't know the truth about him, and it sucked. And I'm just blessed that I know that, like, or a lot of the times, I can catch it when I'm being told a lie, getting fed something, I can catch it, and say, no, I'm not agreeing with that, because, man, they come sometimes, eh? Anyway, sorry, that's what I was meant to say earlier. So, what am I talking about? We have access to the pantry, more than enough. So I was challenged with this, my mentality around work, because, you know, running a business and you got to make ends meet, and more than that, like, I don't just want to do everything I do just to break even. That's a wee bit depressing. I'd rather do something not so strenuous to break even. So I actually want to make good money, you know, if I'm going to be working hard. And I'll just tell you a bit of a story so you can understand, like, I don't like feeling robbed, and sometimes where I'm working, like, I feel like, man, I'm just getting robbed right now, and I'm just like, man, I'll make sure I shaft them before I get shafted, kind of thing, you know what I mean? Like, not that I can really do that, but that's what I feel like. I've got cents and pennies I've got to save here, and if I can work that angle, and like, you know. Anyway, so what the deal was is that what I signed is that I've got cows in the herd that I look after, and half the cows are mine, just under, and half the cows are theirs. And the deal is that they pay for all the animal health, and what I miss out on is that they get all the culls that are no longer fit for milk anymore. I'm just get some water. Good. That's good water. So the deal is that it works out as long as you don't have too many animals that you're seeing on the track. So anyway, what happened was that I've got these 30 cows that didn't get in calf, but they're good milkers and they're young, which means that they're not potentially written off. And they were saying to me, we're going to keep these young cows, even though they're not in calf, we're going to keep them for a whole year, get them back in calf, and then they're going to make us milk again. And I was like, okay, so they're not culls. So that means that my percentage of those cows I need to be paid out for. And they were like, no, these are culls. I'm like, no, because you just said you're going to keep them. And they're like, no, we're calling them culls. I'm like, oh, I'm being robbed, you know? I was trying to like, doof, doof, you know? Come on. And just getting worked up about it, you know, like, this is so frustrating. And I just felt the Lord say, like, what I'm speaking about now, like, there's more than enough, James. $7,000 is more than enough. Like, don't stress about it. And I was just like, oh, so I just let it go. And it's real interesting, eh, because I literally let it go, like, whatever, it's done. That's typical, you know, like, I feel typical. But I don't work for them. Like, I'm in a kingdom that's bigger than that. And anyway, 4 months later, I get this phone call. Hey, you know those carryovers you sent away? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, we need to pay you out for them, for your percentage of them, because they're not actually cows. We're keeping them. And I was just like, oh. And, you know, so $7,000 in my bank account, boom. And like, I let it go. And I was like, man, God's got it, you know. It's more than enough. And I just thought that was awesome. Like, as far as I know, that is the first time in the history of the company that that's happened, because I've talked to the old boys And they're like, nah, bro, we just keep them on the sly, you know, because we don't want to be robbed. And I didn't want to ask about it. That was the other thing. I asked my supervisor, and I could have just sold them, just got them on a truck, and boom, before there was any questions asked, and they're sold. And I was thinking, maybe I'll get away with it. But if they throw up a stink, then I'll have to pay them the $7,000 back. But I just got convicted, like, nah, talk about it. And I was just like, oh, but know the answer. And I did. But then anyway, it worked out. And it's just like, God, you've got this. And it's awesome. Like, it was just real encouraging for me. Like, a practical example where he's got my back. So yeah, now I'm going to take a wee bit of a different angle. Because I've been hard out challenged by the scripture the other day. It jumped out of me. It's John 14:12. And it says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater. And I was just like, holy moly. Like, I haven't even dabbled in the pantry, eh? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I look at all the works that Jesus has done. And like, man, I'm in the first container, eh? Like, there is so much available to me. There's so much available to all of us. And there's so much available for the world, and they've got to see it, you know? And I was just challenged. Hey, I was nervous by reading that. Like, you know, it makes me uncomfortable and you know? But I guess we all got to build our faith. And when you're building something and you're getting stretched and it's uncomfortable, like, you talk to Seth and Jack, like, I took my pillow hunting with me because I like comfort, and they're laughing at me because it takes up so much space. I'm like, man, I want a good night's sleep, okay? I like being comfortable, and there's a cost to pay for being comfortable. And, you know, it's the same. It's like when Jesus says you can do what I did in greater, it's like he's laying it down. It's just like, go and get it, you know, like, go and get it. It's yours. And I was just like, oh, but that feels uncomfortable. You know what I mean? So you need courage, and you want to write this down. Courage is fear that said its prayers. That's a Chris Valentin special. I won't take credit for it, but you got that? Courage is fear that said its prayers, as in we all experience fear, you know. There might be some crazy people out there that don't experience any fear, but as far as I know, everyone experiences fear, and you have to rise up, rise above it, grab it, and move into it, you know? Like, that's courage, you know? Like, walking through the fear. It's like this morning when I was, you know, feeling like, don't share this stuff. It's just like, nah, you know, I'm going to do it. It's like the fear of being honest with the people I work for and saying, you know, and telling them what I want to do. It's the fear of missing out on that $7,000, but God's got it. And like, it was like every song this morning that we were singing, like, it was related. It was awesome. Like, I wrote this down in the first song we sang, I'll praise you like I've never known defeat. And it's just like, man, what does that mean? Like, when you say that, like, I'm sure all of us know defeat. I'm sure all of us know what it's like to just have the wind knocked out of us and feel like, mate, I just don't know if I can go on, or I just don't know if I want to try that again, because I don't know if you know me very well, but I like winning and I like succeeding, and I don't like I had to learn how to lose, you know, like, I'm the oldest of four boys. Like, I had to learn how to be defeated, like, because it didn't happen very often when I was a young kid. I'd make sure my brothers didn't beat me at anything, you know, like, I wasn't gracious, man. Like, it doesn't matter, I'm older. But I'll praise you like I've never known defeat, like, far out. And that means that we've just got to get up and go again, you know, like, and when it talks about, like, the scripture, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. I'm just like, wow, there's been times in my life where that hasn't worked. And it's just like, it doesn't matter, let's build our faith, let's get up and go again. Because Jesus said, like, you'll do all things that I've done and greater if you believe in me. And I believe, we believe, I want to see it, you know. I want to see more. And like, I guess, there's a scripture here as well. Hang on. In Acts 5:12, it says, more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord because Peter and John, they'd got it. They got a hold of the kingdom, and there was more than enough, the abundance. And they were healing people left, right, and center. And more people believed because more and more people saw. So like what that spoke to me is that like we're a community, and we're all like Peter and John. We all have Jesus in our life, and people are watching us, and we're watching each other. And like my challenge is for all of us, me included, remember like I'm the one that got knocked off my feet when I read the scripture, like I haven't dabbled in my pantry, it's not my staple, is that I want to see kingdom on earth, you know, heaven on earth. And like there's no excuse why we can't, you know. And a prayer that I've had lately is like, Lord, I want to see kingdom on earth every day. And like the disciples did, and we're his disciples too. And yeah, so like it builds faith, and I understand that I'm building my faith, and I understand that my faith gets built more when I see things that are happening. So like what I'm asking you guys is to help build my faith, because when I see you guys doing things and miracles happening and things happening in your lives, it builds my faith. And then when I'm doing something in my life and it's awesome, it doesn't just build my faith, it builds your faith. And so I don't want to, like, there's a scripture that says people, there will be people that have a form of godliness but deny its power. Like, man, I don't want to do that, you know? Like, I don't want my kids to grow up and be like, yeah, we go to church because it's like rugby, you know? Like, it's cool. Like, but why is it cool? Because it's powerful and it changed our lives and it's true, you know? Like, that's what I want my kids to understand, that they can see it, and then they go to this, you know, science, and the science is telling them God doesn't exist, the science teacher, and they say, no, God does exist because I've seen God moving and doing powerful things and healing people and, you know, casting demons out. And talk to Dane about that. He loves it. And you know what I mean? Because I want my kids to see it. So like, I know I'm not walking where I want to walk, and I know that I haven't got into everything God's got for me yet. And I'm not content just to sit there and eat like the first bit of home baking that, you know? We all get it. So I want the Father's heart just to be taken over. Like, I want to look at people and see the potential in people, and just be able to love people like he loves them. I want to look at people and like get a prophetic word for people, you know, like, and be able to deliver it, and like, and it just rocks people's world, because it's like God knows them by name. And if I'm like tapped in and I'm being intentional about going out and getting amongst what God's got for me, then like I know what's going to happen. And like, yeah, it's scary. Like, man, I remember the first time I ever asked a guy to, if I could pray for him, like, he probably said no because I was like creepy, you know, like, hey, can I pray for you? You know what I mean? Like, he probably, it's a good way to get people off your front door, I'll tell you that, but like, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes it takes intentional, like, things like, I'm going to do this. And the first time, it might be bad, and you might get it wrong, and it might be awkward, and you'll learn from it, and do it again, you know, like, far out. And I remember, there's so many times I've had that, even as, like, a 16-year-old kid, I've just, like, received God and been like, man, I'm going to live for Jesus my whole life, because I just, you know, I realized I was a sinner, and I felt dirty and trapped, and all of a sudden, I understood who God was. And then like people would come into church, and I was like, man, I want to talk to that guy because I just want to love him. And like that was scary for me when I was 16. And then when I started asking random people to pray for them, that was flipping scary for me when I started, you know, like, but you know, I'm not saying it's not scary now. I'm just saying I just get over it and do it, you know, like I'm being intentional about it. I'm being intentional about seeing God's heaven on earth, because I'm sure like Peter and John, like they got it. They got that abundance was theirs, and there was kingdom of heaven, there's more than enough. They got it, and it didn't mean that they weren't intentional about it. They were still walking around and they were praying for people and seeing people healed. Like, I can guarantee they weren't just walking past people and be like, hey, we're the disciples, you know, like we're with Jesus, and just carrying on. They were stopping and intentionally praying for people and expanding his kingdom. And that's what I want to do. And like, I know I've got a long way to go. Like, I'm preaching to me too. But this is my challenge for you guys. Like, can you join me? Help me build my faith too. Help us change a community and a country. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's pretty much our say, so. Yeah, what I might do is just, yeah, if Nikki could come up and, like, I know, I hope you're challenged by this because, like, I am, you know. And it can be hard to swallow. Like, that's when I read that scripture, I was like, man, that was hard to swallow. But I just pray that I haven't just said something you've heard before, you know what I mean? Like, that I, because your fire ignites my fire, and likewise, you know, like, we're not just embers, you know, like, when we get together, it goes hard. And that's what I want to see as a community of believers, is a fire that grows and grows, and a community that needs truth, needs the King, and needs love spoken into their heart, and needs revelation. It's like Dane, he's staying with me at the moment. He was in the mongrel mob, and God got a hold of him, and the scales dropped off his eyes, and then it's like he sees the truth, you know, like everyone can be like that. No one is too lost. Just got to love people and just present Jesus and just expect the kingdom on earth. So, Father, maybe we can all stand. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that it's challenging and convicting even for me. Father, I just pray that you just give me the grace just to walk through it, because I know that I can relate to the disciples really well when they got it wrong. But I want to better relate to the disciples when they get it right. Father, and that's my prayer for all of us, that, you know, we all know how to get it wrong. That's easy. No one needs to teach us that. But Father, I just pray that we will know how to get it right in you, Lord. So Father, I just speak your blessing over everyone in this place, Father, that they will just know the truth, Father, in their own hearts, and Father, that you are for us and you love us and you're more than enough, Lord. Father, you're more than enough, and in your kingdom there is an abundance. There's always an abundance. So Father, I just thank you for unity in this place this morning, Father, that the enemy cannot defy it. Father, and that we're moving forward and expanding your kingdom, because that's what it's about. Father, because you said that we'll do greater things. You said that we'll see heaven on earth. And I want to see it, Father. I want to see families restored. I want to see diseases healed. I want to see brokenness whole. Father, I want to see your love throughout our country, Lord. Help us to get it, Lord. So, I don't know if anyone wants prayer this morning. Maybe as the song just plays, I just want to welcome you up, and I'll be happy to pray for you, and you can impart something into me too. So I'll just leave it there. Just respond if that's you, or if you want more. Amen.